Welcome to Fit Food Junkies, addicted to health. My name is Emily E., and I'm a certified group fitness instructor and personal trainer. We will not only talk about fitness and nutrition, but also explore how to build a strong mindset, have ultimate motivation, and how to live life to its fullest. Let's start on our health and fitness journey together. What's up, guys? Welcome back to Fit Food Junkies. Today, we have on my good friend, Bo Whitman. Bo is a passionate athlete, cancer recovery coach, and motivational speaker who is dedicated to helping cancer survivors and injured athletes make full recoveries. Bo has dedicated his life to motivate individuals to be vulnerable and share their stories in order to help them come back stronger, both physically and mentally, my absolute favorite combination. During his expansive athletic career, Bo fully recovered from six major reconstructive surgeries. And as of March 2020, Bo is a stage 3 germ cell cancer survivor. He understands the physical endurance and restraint, as well as the positive mentality necessary to make a full recovery from cancer. Not only is he driven to help others, but this has led him to become a magnetic force and enthusiastic personality in the fitness and cancer communities. It's easy to think that we've all been a part of the cancel culture this year, but let me tell you, after hearing Bo's story today, you will definitely think otherwise. He shows us such perspective, and he also dug so deep within himself and showed his own vulnerability. He's a vulnerability expert, and I'm so excited for him to share his strategies and just his ways of how to open up with others and how to become vulnerable. After this interview, not only will you be so motivated, but you will want to do so much good in this world. Your entire perspective of everything that's going on will absolutely change. With great privilege, it is an honor to welcome Bo Whitman.
The reason I think it's so important to talk about your journey today is you have overcome cancer and now are a cancer recovery coach. But when people right now, we're going through this pandemic, and a lot of times people say they're bored, people say everything got canceled this year. A lot of times it's hard to realize that your time, your journey, when you were going through cancer, everything was canceled. You know, that was your reality at that time. And you know what that's like. You've already been through that. I just want you to take us through your journey today and tell us about what happened. How did your journey start? How did it end? And where are you today?
Let's see. I'm 28 years old. About a year and a half ago now. Wow, it's amazing how time flies. A year and a half ago, I was at a Olympic weightlifting competition, and towards the last clean and jerk lift that I had, I felt like I had a lightning bolt hit me. Let's put it that way. And I felt like I bulged a disc. I felt like I cracked my back. I felt like something was like completely wrong. Ended up not finishing the meet. And then the next day I had to coach at like 5 a.m. and I had 5 classes back to back to coach. And I remember, like, I think getting through those 5 classes were worse than doing like the workout Murph like 4 times in a row. It was so painful. So like mind couldn't focus. I was like, and I had like my owner, the boss, the owner of the gym come in halfway through the classes being like, you need to go home. Like, I've been getting texts about like, you're just not with it today. Like, someone saw you like pull a tear back or something. And I was like, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain and I have like a really high pain tolerance. And I remember like calling my parents up and I was like, all right, I know I just had wrist surgery like less than a year ago. And I just got cleared like 3 months ago to start lifting again, but I need to go back to the doctor. Something's wrong. And of course my parents were like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this is a joke. Like, and I was like, no, I was like, it's my back. And I've always had back issues. When I was in college at Lehigh University, I was a pole vaulter and I completely missed the mat from 16 feet up and landed straight on my back on the asphalt that we were on. And I landed like torqued over, and somehow I didn't break my back, no stress fracture, no nothing. But they were like, you probably have hairline somewhere, like just be cautious, like going forward. And I remember going to the hospital and the guy was like, all right, well, you also have this bulge in your neck. You've been sick for a little bit. It's probably because your lymph nodes are swollen. You're also 12 pounds underweight because of your competition. And I didn't drop all that weight within a month. Like I dropped it over 4.5 months. Like I took my time. I did it correctly to keep my strength and everything. It wasn't like I did it in a week.
Right.
And he was like, we're going to get some scans. We'll also get some scans of your back. So when they do a CAT scan, they do like, you know, of your whole stomach, your lower back and your hips and everything. And like, there's no easy way to describe it. It literally was like, I felt like I was in like Grey's Anatomy or some one of those TV doctor shows, because I knew two of the nurses that were working that night because they were friends with my brother's girlfriend at the time. And I remember like, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting there playing on my phone. My mom's like kind of asleep. And like the doctor turns the corner and is talking to those two nurses and they just go sheet white. They look like they're about to cry. And I'm like confused. I like tell my mom, like, it's bad. And she was like, why are you saying that? Don't jinx yourself. And the doctor comes around and he literally just goes, I got off the phone with our oncologist who's on call. There's no easy way to say this, but you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma stage like 4. You probably have a year and a half to live and like they might not even treat you. And it took me a half a second before I was already laughing and being like, of course. I was like, this is great. I was like, so where am I going? And the doctor was so taken back. He was like, what? He was like, I just told you, like, you have a year and a half, like you have non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I was like, I know. I was like, so where am I going? Like the cancer center's down the street. Am I being admitted here tonight? Like, what's going on? And he was like, why are you so optimistic? I was like, I've just finished my 6 reconstruction surgery. I was like, I'm just hurt. I was like, what do I have to do to heal up? Like, what's next? And my mom's sitting there like smiling, because just like, you know, that's who I am. It's how I've always been with all my surgeries. And she worked in the hospital for a while and she was like, all right, let me go see these scans. And it wasn't until I saw her face when I was like, okay, this is bad. And she wouldn't even let me see the scans. She was like, if you saw the scans, you'd probably throw up. And I found that out and I sat with that news for like 3.5 weeks. And then I found out 3.5 weeks later that it ended up being this super rare form of testicular germ cell cancer. And they were like, good news and bad news. Good news is it's 100% curable. Bad news is it's a lot of treatment, like the heaviest chemo that you can get for 4.5 months, 5 months. And then you have to go through 2 major surgeries depending on where the masses are and everything. No, it was a lot. But at the end of the day, I remember driving home from that hospital, just telling my mom, I was like, listen, it's fine. I was like, this isn't real until I'm in the hospital bed. My head is shaved and I have an IV in my arm and I'm getting chemo for the first time. That's when it's real. And it's crazy because I never cried until that day in the hospital. I remember it was like a night. I think it was at night or midday or something when I got my first thing. And I was sitting there and I kind of was like in shock because I was like, oh my God, it's been 4 weeks since like I was diagnosed. And I was like, this is real. Like, here comes the IV. There is one of those like, you know, yellow bags with the caution skull thing through it on the chemo bag. That's, you know, like you shouldn't be taking unless you have cancer. And I'm like, this is real. This is crazy. But yeah, after that, I went through 4.5 months of chemo, which was honestly a lot easier than I thought it was going to be. I was more scared of the surgeries. And my best advice for people that are either listening to this, that are just diagnosed or going through their chemo, the thing you have to understand is you can't let the cancer control your life. You got to remember that it's an injury. And people always hear the word cancer and it's such a death sentence, but it's not true in the real world. I mean, yes, some days, like, you know, we are throwing our guts up. Some days, like, we can't get out of bed. Some days, like, you know, it's really bad. And I've had those days. You just got to keep on moving. And I remember telling my mom, my doctor, especially on the car ride home, the first night I found out I had cancer, I was like, after I told her, I was like, this isn't real until everything. I was like, by the way, I'm taking a train back tomorrow morning because I have to teach. I have to do this, and I'll be back on the weekend. And she was like, absolutely not. We're going to the cancer center tomorrow. I was like, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. There's no way in hell that you're going to get an appointment until Monday. And this is on like a Friday or something. I was like, I'm going back to the city. Like, went back to the city. I worked all weekend, came home, and then I had to tell like all my gyms, like, hey, I'm done for 2 weeks until I figure out what's going on. And then I still had events that I was planning. I ran a major competition that was has 1,500 competitors in it, around 3,000 spectators come. And I remember after the first week of my chemo, it's 5 days straight. I started on a Tuesday. Saturday morning at like 9 o'clock, I finished. I was already walking out of the hospital with my brother helping me. And like, we drove down to Long Beach. I got up on a stage in front of 1,000 people, 1,500 people, and just like talked to them about, all right, guys, like perfectly on time. Welcome to Flex on the Beach. We're going to get going today. This is everything. It's happening, blah, blah, blah. And I made it through the whole thing. I was completely okay. I was like, okay, good. Like, and I went back and I started walking off the stage because I was going to be like helping out with all the things that were going wrong. And my one really close friend who's the MC was like, all right, guys, we need to hold the phone for a second. And he was just like, this man just went through his first round of chemo and he's here busting his ass. He was like, if I see anyone complaining about any of these workouts, we're going to have issues. And he was like, come back up. And I had to like open up in front of all these people. And it was such a vulnerable moment because like once people found out I had cancer and like I could see everyone's face being like kind of terrified.
Right.
I lost it. I was like crying on stage. I was like a mess. But at the same time, it was like, it was great because I felt so much better being able to like open up about it. And then, you know, after the chemo, I had two huge surgeries. And that was like a big thing for me because I had my first reconstruction surgery when I was 13. And it was on my shoulder. And I've had both my shoulders done, my left shoulder done twice. I had both my wrists done. And I had my knee scoped in two places. So it's interesting, like all these things building up. And I remember going up to my doctor, sitting down laughing, and he was like, what's so funny? And he's like this serious guy. He's like top of his line at MSK. And I was like, this surgery is going to be a walk in the park. And he was like, oh, really? He was like, what have you had done? And I go through the list and he goes, no. I was like, what? He goes, what you just described to me is like, I don't know, walking your dog down the block. And I was like, okay. And he was like, one of the most painful surgeries you'll have. Because they had to open you up from like your top of your ribs all the way down to your pelvic bone. And he was like, you're gonna have like 200 staples. He was like, the thing that people don't understand is he was like, we have to cut literally your abdomen completely open, like your core. He was like, it sucks that you have a really great, like, you know, 8-6 pack or whatever that's going on there. But he was like, that first day and that next month, you're not gonna be able to use them. Like, you're gonna try and sit up and you're not going to be able to. He goes, it is such a mental like fart for everyone that like you go to do something and you can't. Because your muscles aren't like reattached yet, you know, like nothing's working yet. He goes, it's going to hurt. I'm going to ask you to try not to sit up with your core. And it was crazy because I remember the hardest part for me was not getting through the surgery. Like, I remember like I walked in, it was this really clean room. I looked up, I remember looking at my stomach being like, okay, there's nothing there. And then he was like, all right, you ready? I'm like, all right, what's the worst part about this? Like right before I went under, he was like, I don't tell anyone this until like, you know, we're about to go under, but he was like, you're going to get about 14 hours of sleep now. Then someone will wake you up. It'll be around 4 o'clock in the morning. And then after that, you're going to have to give me 14 laps around like the quad, the floor that we're on. And I was like, what? And he was like, yep, 14 laps. And he was like, you had to walk to get, I was like, what? And he was like, all right, time to go under, and like puts me under while I'm still like asking like what's going on. And I remember waking up the next morning to being in so much pain. And I was just like, please drug me up. And they're like, you're on max drugs. I was just like bawling my eyes out, crying. And it was like a lot for me because I was just like, what is hurting so bad? And they like, when they went to like change my gauze and everything, like all I saw were just like these metal, huge, like, you know, half inch staples going down my stomach. And it was crazy. And I was just like, oh my God, this is even realer. I was lucky enough to have one of my really close friends show up at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, not even awake, either. I had a cup of coffee in his hand. He's like, let's do this. Like, we're walking. And it was like the hardest thing I had to go through in any like physical aspect. Like, and if anyone's listening to that, just watch the CrossFit Games. I felt like I did the last round of the CrossFit Games. Like, it was so hard. Like, the pain, it's not even walking, because like you'd finish one lap and you're just like death, because like you can't breathe, your lungs are so affected, your stomach's like feels like it's about to fall out. But it started to make me thinking about all my other surgeries, about like, I remember finishing that, getting down in bed, and I looked at the nurse and my buddy. It took me like 3 hours to do 14 laps because I had to walk to take a break, walk to take, like, it was awful, but I did it.
So he wasn't joking.
Not joking at all. And I remember him coming in, I was like wanting to curse, and he knew it too, but he was also really furious with me because he came in like when I was sleeping, check my stitches, but the next time I saw him was like 4 days later, and he was like, you need to take a chill pill. And I was like, why? And he was like, I hear you're walking like 30 plus laps a day now. I'm like, what else is there to do? And he was like, so you are? I'm like, well, I walked 45 laps today. And he was like, no. And I was like, well, you told me the more I walk, the better I get. And he was like, yeah. So walk your 14 or 12 laps and then go back to bed. I'm like, no. I walk 12 and then I go to bed and then I wake up again. You know, it's not tomorrow yet. So I figure why not walk another 12? And he's just like, why? And I'm like, this is how I work out though. This is how I've always done it. Like with all my surgeries, I've always had people tell me like, you'll never get full rotation in your arms again. You'll never snatch again. You'll never handstand again. And I always laugh. I'm like, oh yeah, watch me do my therapy like 12 times a day, every single day. Like I still do my shoulder exercises that I had since I was 13. That's the only reason why I can still snatch, do handstands and all these crazy stuff still. And it's funny when I work with people too, before my cancer that were recovering from injuries. And I'd be like, when's the last time you did like, you know, your physical therapist work? And they'll be like, the first week they gave it to us. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm like, yep. Now you're wondering what's wrong. But it kept on this whole like development of how I was like getting better led to this thing because I got better from that. Then I had neck surgery that I had to get done. They had to take all the nodes out of my neck.
Oh.
So retroperitoneal lymph node dissection was my stomach surgeon. Then I had to do the same thing, but they had to open up my shoulder and my neck because I had it all under my trap, under my in some parts of my shoulder. And I remember going to both doctors being like, all right, so let's skip like, you know, 4 months from now, which would be like March, April. I'm like, that's when I'm allowed to start working out. You know, like, what am I allowed?
And that's the start of the pandemic right there.
Yeah, literally started by the start of the pandemic was I got cured. I got sent off by my doctor saying I can move back to the city and start working again, but I couldn't start working out. And I had my bags packed, had a really good friend of mine I was going to live with, like just a room in until I found a place. And then literally the next morning, my doctor called me saying, keep my ass at home. He was like, if you get this thing, you're going to be on a ventilator in under 12 hours because of how much the chemo affected my lungs, how like the surgery I just had. He was like, if you were 6 months out of the surgery or like 8 months where we are now or farther, he was like, I'd be fine with you going, but you can't go now. So I literally went from being quarantined and isolated for almost a full year to being quarantined again. And it was hilarious because I would be talking to people that were like, this sucks. I can't go anywhere. Like, this is awful. And I'd just be like sitting there not saying
you're
anything.
You're ready to deck them in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And my one friend would like, I'd be in a group chat with like seven of my good college buddies. And my one friend every time knows when I'm like, he knows me so well. He just knows when I'm on edge. And I'm not the type of person that will bash other people with it. But he would just be like, guys, we had to remember Bo's been quarantined for like a year and a half. Like he's missed so much and now he's quarantined again and we're probably not going to see him for a whole nother year. And it was true. Like I remember, I think it was like 2 months ago. I even cried to my parents. I was like, listen, like you got to let me go see them. Like my dad's at a really high risk. I'm not as bad as a high risk. I was like, you just got to go let me see my friends. I haven't seen them in 2 years. I missed my best friend's proposal. I miss like four of their birthdays where they also proposed to their loved ones. I'm missing everyone's I'm a best man in two of their weddings. Like, how am I not supposed to? Like, it was crazy. And I'm like, they're like, you could FaceTime him. And I'm like, there's a complete difference. But it's funny how it all comes back to this universal thing of whenever anything goes wrong, you need to remember that you're just being replanted in life. I like to put it so just like a seed. So once you're replanted, like the only way to go is up. And depending on what you do is how you're going to grow in that world, how you're going to grow right now, especially like right now, like the election's happening. And I've heard so many times this week, and I've said it as a joke every once in a while. It's like, all right, it's everyone's last day on earth. Like, you know, it's like the end of the world, but you know, there's still going to be a tomorrow. There's still going to be another day. There's still going to be something else. And what you do today and tomorrow and what's going on is going to see where your growth is. The same thing as you hear with anyone, the more effort you put into something, the more you get out of it. Same thing with what I'm saying now. The more water or the more I feed myself at something, the more I'm going to get out of it. The more I'm going to grow in one direction or grow in a different direction. Or I'm just going to stay as this little sapling sitting in my butt doing nothing all day.
Everyone wants the qualities that you had. And I feel like it's not even like these came up during the time you had cancer, but you had these qualities before ingrained in you. And it's just, you are seriously an inspiration. Your story is so impactful. I want to ask you, How are you so optimistic? Someone told you you have cancer and you have a year to live. How are you just laughing? And I know after you started to realize a little bit, okay, reality is hitting me, but how did you keep up your optimism and how were you just resilient throughout this entire time?
I mean, I think I need to backtrack a little bit for people to understand. Yes, it was ingrained in me, like you talked about these qualities, but they weren't ever this abundant. I was never this open at once. I was a nationally ranked gymnast at one of the top training centers in the US. And we were taught, like, if you're hurt, you shut your mouth, you go into like, you know, the back room or the locker room, you tape up your ankle or tape up whatever is wrong, take some Advil, or you go cry in the locker, then you come out and you go back to work.
Right.
And you don't show that you're hurt or you lose your spot. You're done. Or I remember it was like, all right, you're hurt, go to the trainers, go get wrapped. You're doing strength training the rest of the day. Go climb the rope 100 times. Go do this, go do that. When you're better, then we can start working back into things. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I've been in that situation multiple times and it sucked because I remember it, like, some days I just tell mom, I was like, I don't want to go to the gym today. Why? I'm going to be stuck on the damn rope all day. And she goes, you're going to be at the gym for 9 hours. I'm like, I know. Like, I get there, I stretch, I do core, I climb the rope maybe 80 times and then go and do, like, you know, dip work, all these different, like, strength and, like, ability work. Like, you know, it's crazy the things that we used to do back then. It wasn't until my recent wrist surgery before the cancer when someone reached out to me, a good friend of mine, and was like, hey, not a lot of people know this about you because you don't preach about it a lot, but I know it because I've talked to you before, but you've had, like, all these surgeries. And she was a PT and she was like, there's no way you should be doing the things you're doing. And I was like, come again? She goes, well, you're like 165 pounds now and you're snatching 250 pounds with double reconstruction shoulders and wrist. Like, and your knee, like, no, like, what are your training? Like, what are you doing? And I was like, I go back to my roots. I'm training in foundational strength movement, core, shoulder, like everything from gymnastics, which saved me so many times. And she was like, maybe you should open up about that and talk about it on Instagram. And I remember when I blew out my wrist, it was right before a huge meet. And it was one of those things I was lifting at the bottom. I was lifting at this gym called Solace in New York City, which just unfortunately closed due to the pandemic. It's where I first started coaching and I was there lifting with a bunch of people. And I remember catching a 300 pound clean and just feeling my wrist snap. And it was one of those things where I was sitting in the bottom of a clean position. Oh, it was like a pop. It wasn't like a snap. That's an exaggeration. But I just remember sitting there and the coach at the time who was down there, visiting, I was good friends with her name's Heather Farmer, and her coach Dimitri Trumach was there, who's a, like, three-time world champion in the clean and jerk, came over and literally just picked this bar up with one arm and was like, nope. He heard it too. He's like, you're done, go upstairs. And I was like, nope, not going upstairs. 3 minutes later, like, my whole entire forearm and arm was like a balloon. Like, I snapped like five ligaments in my wrist. And I just remember, like, fine, like, I'll be open about this. Like, I started talking about it. I started telling everyone what I was doing and people were starting to open up being like, oh, this is cool. Oh, I have the same thing. Oh, but, like, all the physical therapists tell me, like, once I'm good, I can go. But I was doing, like, the next step sharing. I wasn't just doing, like, you know, put your arm in, like, a bag of, like, rice and do all this. I was showing them all the strength movements, all, like, the things that you could do for gymnastics, how to get back into your handstand, how to apply weight better, how to do all these stills, and then how to get stronger off of that. And people were messaging me being like, this is a huge gap that's missing. And I started training people like that, doing injured high school athletes that were doing post-grad years because they couldn't get into college after they've been hurt so bad. So I started working with nationally ranked track athletes that were doing the same thing. Like, two of them blew out their shoulders. I was working with a girl soccer player who blew out her knee and they all lost their rides. And like, do we just not tell our coaches and just show up hurt? And I was like, well, that probably will break your contract. I was like, can't probably do that. But they ended up, like, opening up to their coach. I worked with them for a year. They ended up going back to the school still with their rides, being able to play. And wow. I remember after my neck surgery, I kind of approached it the same way. I was, like, still open about everything. I was like, all right, guys, like, I'm excited to get back to training. Let's see what the doctors say. And I remember going into the doctors being, all right, what am I allowed to do? And they were like, yeah, go back to whatever you're doing. And I was like,
you don't know what I anything? Was doing.
No, I was like, anything? And they're like, yeah, whatever you're doing. And I was like, Oh, and I was being a smart ass at the time. I was just like, so you're gonna tell me that like I can go squat 400 pounds for like eight reps, five reps, like, and they're like, no, like, could you even do that? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, right now, I'm like, no. I was like, I'd be lucky if I can squat 135 pounds with all the muscle and like how much like I weigh now and everything. And they're just like, oh, you know, just start easy. And it was interesting because I went to Google and I started Googling. I was like, cancer survivor, recovery, like what to do, what not to do, like where to start. And everyone was just like, go do yoga. Go pick up where you last were. I was laughing because I was like, what do people like that are like me or college athletes or young people that are always fit or people that go to Barry's all the time? Like, what are they going to do when they like when they come back? Like, it blew my mind. There was nothing out there. And then I was like, what about the mental side? Like, what if I need to talk to somebody? And they're like, oh, there's support groups. And I reached out to my one friend who's gone to a couple. And I was like, all right, what do you think of them? And she was like, they are the most depressing things on earth. Like, it's just who had it the worst. And I started an online Facebook group where there's about 45 people in it now. And we talk like once a month about everything that's happening. How's everyone doing? And it's not about how bad it is. It's like, how can we help each other? And then it kind of opened up my eyes more. I was like, wow, I have this whole entire like background and foundational strength building, because after chemo and after cancer and after surgeries, you are either like, you either gain weight or you either lose a ton of weight. Like for me, I lost 35 pounds and I lost over like 50% of my body muscle mass. And the only way to start is from the ground up. So I created like a program that's all about building from the ground up, from like core, arms, legs, and everything. So at the end of that time period, then you would feel safe, feel strong enough to actually go back to a normal class. Like maybe it might be a beginner CrossFit class, or maybe like right. a Barry's class, or even a SoulCycle class.
This is while you're recovering.
This is while I'm recovering. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the bigger side effect was the whole mental side of it. Like not a lot of people know, but 35 to 45% of people that are survivors go through depression and anxiety. And mm-hmm. that's a huge impact, especially on the breast cancer society. And it's crazy because the best way to do it is like you get diagnosed with cancer. And I saw it firsthand. You have your doctor, you have your family. You're going through it. You still have your doctor, family, friends. You get to the top and it's like, all right, you're a survivor. Congratulations. And you have this huge like, party.
Now what?
And you're like, yeah. And then you're like, oh, this is great. And then like, you know, a week later, it's like, okay, you can go back to work. But you're so used to either, you know, being on the couch, barely being right, able to move right. Your routine is going to the hospital, coming back, and you don't know how to work, and you have this thing called chemo brain where like you can't think straight, you can't do anything right because like your brain is so like not fried but foggy. And I remember talking to my doctor 3 weeks ago and I was like, I'm exhausted all the time and I'm not really doing anything. Like I'm sitting on my computer working. I might get up and do a workout, but like I sleep, if I put my head down, I'm out for 4 hours. Or like I'm trying to remember stuff or work and I can't retain that memory. And he was like, it takes about 2 years. He goes, it takes about 2 years depending on the chemo. Yeah. 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 And it's mind boggling and frustrating. So I created this program where I literally talked to over like 200 different cancer patients and survivors that were struggling in different ways. And I focused on different modules to help put people back into like the power of their lives, even though they're going to be facing these difficulties, like little mindset goals to do throughout the day, how to set your day up better, even though like you're going through all this stuff. And I made it as my saying that I've always had since I was little, rebuilt to inspire, because you're not just rebuilding to inspire yourself, but the people around you to show that, I just beat cancer and now I can even go back and take on life. And you're showing yourself, just like I said, you're planning yourself again to show that you can come back from it and not let the cancer control your life. It's been going great so far. I've been launching it since June. It's going really well.
I'm so proud of you. I remember when I first met you and you were telling me about what you do and Rebuild to Inspire. It's insane because most people who have gone through cancer, the last thing that they want to do is kind of go through that journey again and deal with cancer again and have it still be a part of their life. But you turn something negative into something so powerful, impacting you and those around you. And you train your mindset as an athlete, and that seemed like it carried through with you throughout your cancer journey. What was it like when you found out you were cancer free?
Honestly, it still hasn't hit me. It's crazy to say that, but I remember like sitting with my mom and my assistant to the doctor, and the guy was the doctor, and he was just like, all right, like you're pretty much cancer free, but we got to wait and see like what the next scans are like and everything. He was like, of course, like for the next 3 years, like we're going to be doing scans every 6 months. Like there's still like a 5% chance to come back. But as of right now, you're cancer free. But I always tell people, whoever I talk to that are just diagnosed, and like, listen, I have cancer. I'm like, no, you're a cancer survivor. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you're alive and you have cancer. You're like, you're surviving cancer right now. That is a cancer survivor. Like it's like, yeah, and like it changes somebody's perspective of that, because I've been cancer free for like ever. It's like, it hasn't gone anywhere. Like it's still in my body. Like you never know when it's going to come back. And I remember I went like 3 months later, got the test done, and the doctor called me. He was like, all right, man. He was like, we're good. He was like, but you know, we're still going to do it. But as of right now, like you're in remission, like you're full-time good, blah, blah, blah. And I remember telling my mom, I said, my mom was crying, sister was crying, everyone was happy. And I was just like, hey, like, and it's still, it's crazy. It's like the best way to describe it is, I can't even think of a way to describe it. Like the best way I can think of describe it is if you're sitting in a room and your best friend tells you something so exciting and it's exciting for them, but you're just like, oh, that's great. Like you're, you know, like, but you don't understand it. You're like on the outside.
There's no way someone could understand it.
Yeah. And that's what it is for me.
What I think is so crazy and amazing is that it seemed like even when the doctors kind of gave you a timeline of your life, you at first laughed about it. You never let that become your reality and you never let your mind believe it. And the entire time it just seemed like, I'm going to get through this. Like you've gone through so much in the past and this is just another adversity that you're going to hop over. That was never your reality in your mind. So once he told you that you were cancer free, it seemed like you were like, yeah, I mean, obviously I am now, you know? Yeah. So, oh, wow. Bo, seriously, it's amazing. And that's why I always say like what you tell your mind, you're going to believe. And it seemed like the entire time, obviously you're not, I'm sure there were so many days and nights that were beyond horrifying. Overall, it just seemed like you were able to keep this positive, strong, powerful mindset throughout the entire time.
Exactly.
I know you love to talk about vulnerability and you're a vulnerability expert. Why do you talk about vulnerability? Why do you think it's so important for people to open up? And, you know, it seems like you're a dude CrossFit. You have such a strong mindset, such a strong body, but now you talk about vulnerability, that dichotomy. Tell me about this, that differentiation between vulnerability and strength.
Vulnerability is not just, you know, when people hear vulnerability, they're like, okay, where are they weak? Where's their like weak spot? How can I hurt them? That's one definition that everyone has to focus on for some reason. But what if we turned it around and used what vulnerability really is for asking for help? There's so many different ways of asking for help. It could be asking for help in terms of, listen, I'm really bad at this subject. Teacher, can you help me with this? Or reaching out to a friend. But on the flip side of that, the whole vulnerability aspect can change the momentum of a whole entire room, can change the momentum of a society in terms of anything. I remember I went to this event, there's 150 people there and nobody was talking. Like it was an open discussion kind of thing. There's 150 people there, we're in New York City. And he was like, let's talk about vulnerability. Bo, why don't you tell us about your story right now? What did you just find out? And this is like, not kidding, like that weekend I just found out. So like, super rare. And like, I did not expect to be talking about 100 people. I cried, told them everything, just crying my eyes out. And he was like, all right, let's go on the next topic. I think like 80% of the people raised their hand after that. And it was crazy because we went for like 45 minutes of him asking people to raise their hand. There's like one or two.
Right.
And then it was the same people. But then like after I talked and opened up and really was just like, you know, and not even just inspiring, but just saying what was going on, like everyone raised their hand and wanted to talk. And I had so many people come up to me and say that we're able to talk more because of what we heard from you. And it kind of dawned on me. I was like, this is a great idea. I had over 350 cancer related people that were survivors or going through it, or people that had knew somebody that was going in, reach out to me, asking to talk to me, or just like how I was doing, how I was doing different things. I talked to over 150 people on Zoom calls I did not even know, or even on the phone. And I have like my journal where I wrote all their names down and like what we talked about, kind of just so I have a memory of that, because my memory is shot back then with all the chemo brain and all the chemo I was going through. But the biggest question I get asked, I think, with vulnerability is, how do we get to your stage? How do we get this open? Or they're like, do you tell anyone anything? And I'm like, yes. I was like, I am an open book. Like, I will tell you anything if you really want me to.
Right.
But like, at the end of the day, if you don't like who I am, that's on you. Like, I'm not going to change for who I am. That's how I've been lived. That's how I've been taught, teaching myself.
How can people practice these every day and become more vulnerable, become more powerful and resilient?
If you're too, you know, nervous or you're too scared to start talking to people about it, it's fine. A really easy way to do vulnerability is instead of facing the people out or the society in front of you, you got to face yourself. And a great way to do that is you write down your goals every day. And people tell me all the time, I don't have time to do that. Don't have time. When you're brushing your teeth, you can write this down. Like, I do it in my phone notes. So it transfers over to my laptop all the time when I'm working, because I see them all the time. Or I have a ginormous whiteboard across my room where I write them, and it's while I'm brushing my teeth. Write down your goals for the day. And that night before you go to bed, look at those goals and see what you didn't do. And be open about yourself. Why didn't you do them? Oh, I didn't do this today because, you know, I just didn't feel like going to the gym. So I didn't work out. Or, no, I could have went and got this done today. But you know what? I decided to push it back one more day because I wanted to go out and eat with my friends. Simple way to open up with yourself. Simple way to, like, you know, see what the real issue is. But then that becomes a practice. It becomes a addiction, because then you're like, oh, I can't do that. I need to get this done. And the more you get done, the more things happen, the more your dreams, and you implement these goals into whatever you're chasing as well. So it starts to implement into everything you're doing. Vulnerability can be traced into everything that you're doing every single day.
I think it's such a powerful tool, and the way that you utilize it, it seems like you utilize it when you're competing in CrossFit and you're a coach, and then you utilize it when you had cancer, and then you utilize it post-cancer, now helping those around you that are struggling. It's just this quality that is rebuilt to inspire, and you call it that. Everything you're saying today, I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, I need to become more resilient and vulnerable and help more people. And it is just, I have no words for you, Bo. How can people join Rebuilt to Inspire?
So yeah, there's two ways of going it. There's you can go through my Instagram and go to my Instagram link in my bio, and it'll come up with a couple of links that will say Rebuilt to Inspire. Mm-hmm. Or you can go
and
to my
say,
website.
You say feeling surrendered to strong, which I love.
Yeah. So it's taking cancer patients from stranded to strong. Exactly. And you can go to my website. It's bowhitman.com. So BEAUWHITMAN.com. And you can just go to the Rebuild to Inspire tab. You can go and you can sign up there. We'll get on a phone call together and we'll chat. My next program starts December 1st, right in time for the new year, which is great. So we'll start working before, like, you know, the new year starts. So you don't have that New Year's jitter starting, which is great because you've already been working for a month. And on top of that, I'm starting now to work with people that are actually going through cancer. It's been only cancer survivors, but now I'm starting to work with people that are patients as well, because I'm now a certified cancer specialist. So I can now help people in all fields as long as your doctor approves of it. So
yeah.
If you are interested, let me know. Or even if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me.
I'm so excited to be teaching a fitness class too for the Cancer Society. And then Bo's going to be teaching one as well. And we'll both be posting about that. So all the money goes to the Cancer Society. So I'm very excited to join basically your mission for this time with you. How can people connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is through Instagram. It's bo.whitman. That's really the best way. And feel free to message me.
I hope you realize what an impact you are making in this world, this indelible impact. And I mean that. My last question is, at Fit Food Junkies, our motto is addicted to health. So Bo, what are you addicted to?
It's a tough one. I think the biggest thing though is this feeling I get talking to people or reaching out to people about vulnerability. Like every time I do one of these podcasts, I always get a message here and there from random people that will be like, I just listened to your podcast and mind blowing. I had a lady message me yesterday. She was like, I just ran my first marathon, and she listens to the podcast while she's going through marathon. She goes, oh, wow. I had to listen to your podcast twice. She was, it was that good. And it helped me really get through this. I was struggling and I was listening to a different podcast. And when I looked at my time, she was like, I realized like I ran my first pace so much better because I think it was what I was listening to. So I turned it back on and started from the beginning. You know what?
Motivated
it made everything
the hell
easier.
Out of her hearing your
yeah,
journey.
I know. I was sitting there and I was like, wow, that is like And like, it's crazy because like sometimes when I'll hear those things, it will be at the low part of my day, or it'll be at the time where I really need it. And it's like karma coming back. Like everything happens for a reason. It was amazing because like when that message came to me, I was sitting on the couch. I was feeling crap. I did not want to go to my computer and work. And I read this thing and I was like, God damn, what am I doing with myself? I got up, went upstairs, started working. I was like, let's do this.
Rebuilt to inspire, baby.
Rebuilt to inspire. But I think it's people. I think people are the answer.
I want to acknowledge you for opening up today. You've touched so many souls in this world. And it seems like so many of those people you've touched, you don't even realize you have made such an impact. I just want to thank you for the work you do and how you've just rebuilt. You really rebuilt to inspire those around you and even past that. Thank you for coming on today, inspiring me. It's almost like if you are right now going through this pandemic and you're like, oh my God, everything's canceled. Or if you're an athlete and you're injured, or if you're going through chemo, reach out to Bo, check him out, because he will make you become vulnerable, resilient, and just kind of re-strengthen your mind and body to become the best version of yourself. So Bo, thank you so much for sharing those experiences. It really touched my heart, my soul, and everything.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today. I hope you really are able to see a different perspective in the world after hearing Bo share his experiences with us today. I am very excited to be joining Bo on his mission. I will be teaching a fitness class. It will be cardio core / HIIT. You can find all the details, link in my bio at Fit Food Junkies to sign up. It's free, donation based, and all of the proceeds go to the American Cancer Society. Bo and I will each be teaching one class throughout the month, so check out his schedule as well on his Instagram at bo.whitman, and definitely reach out to him. If you haven't clicked the subscribe button yet and left a comment and a rating, please do. It would mean so much to me. Also, if you have a friend and you want to shed some perspective into their life today, copy the link and send over this podcast to that person. I am so excited that you are joining the Fit Food Junkies journey with me.